This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to the Traveling Black Women podcast, where we are talking to Black women around the world. I'm your host, Nadine, and I am so excited to take you on a journey with fearless Black women exploring the world. Each episode, we uncover hidden gems, share travel hacks, and hear inspiring stories from incredible travelers who look just like you. So whether you're a seasoned globetrotter or planning your very first adventure, we've got something special for you. So stay tuned and let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the third episode of the third season of the Traveling Black Women podcast. I have an amazing guest today, a guest who has dedicated her entire travel career to making sure that trips to Africa are easily attainable, that they are available, and that they are well curated. Her name is Miss Tiffany Anderson, and she is the founder of a company called A Way to Africa. So I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about who she is. So Tiffany, the floor is yours.
So yes, as Nadine mentioned, my name is Tiffany Anderson. I am the founder and CEO of A Way to Africa. Just a little bit of background about me. So I am an attorney and a professor, and it was while studying abroad. I did study abroad while I was in law school in South Africa, and that really planted the seed of seeing how beautiful the continent was and connecting with the people of the continent, where I went back and just started telling everyone about my experience there. This was pre-Instagram, pre-Africa trending. So it was something that was, I would say, obsolete in a sense of we had an idea of what Africa was. And, you know, we heard of people like getting up and moving to Africa, but they were considered a super militant type. So to view Africa in a sense of as, you know, someone who is in their 20s, like, wow, I can go and like really build a life in Africa. It was something that was fairly new. So I, you know, walked away with this idea and sat on the idea for about 10 years as I practiced law. And but that, you know, when that spirit or that fire was burning inside of me, and you know, I just took a risk. I left the States. I was working as an attorney, a real estate attorney. I left the States, moved to Kingston, Jamaica for about 5 years, launched A Way to Africa because I was subconsciously in search of my own roots. But I also knew with starting a company with providing the connection and connectivity to Africa, not just like trips, but a connection, I knew that I would be more supported in Jamaica as opposed to living in South Florida, because Jamaicans don't question, or people in the Caribbean don't question the fact that their roots are African. So I knew that I would receive more support in the sense of not necessarily people who are clients, but the energy that was needed to catapult and launch the company. So I lived in Jamaica for about 5 years, launched the company, eventually moved to Lamu, Kenya, and now, yeah, here I am. I'm in the States now, so I'm back and forth between the States and Lamu.
Nice, nice. I think that's so interesting, like to not just, you know, find somewhere that's like, okay, it's good to start a business here, but to actually have a space where it's just like, but I also need the energy, right? I also need people talking about it, people like really recognizing like, yeah, these is where our roots are from, like, you know, just having that kind of like deeper connection and not feeling like you have to fight the conversation, but to actually have a natural conversation about it. So I like that. So what do you think was your biggest challenge in just kind of like getting it off the ground?
Believing in myself, you know, because I worked in so many different spaces. So my background is real estate law and also entertainment law, but I also love business development. So prior to launching my own company, I worked with these amazing Brazilian brothers. One was a real estate, worked in real estate, like an agent, and the other one was a real estate attorney. So I worked on the agency side first and worked right hand with this man, like, and was bringing in millions, you know, a year. But I was able to learn so much from, you know, experiencing someone with a business-minded acumen, like that space of every day is all about, like, how can I progress and do better and do better. And so I had the business development mindset where I knew if you have the resources that's needed, including money, I can take that idea and I can build it into a brand. That's something that I love doing. And the thing is, when you bet on yourself, you have to provide those resources. When you bring on a team, you have to write that check every 2 weeks or whatever have you. So it was a difference between, you know, working hard, but knowing on that Friday, my check was deposited, versus working hard and making sure you're putting that money into someone else's, you know. And so taking a risk on myself and just believing in myself, like, look, if you can build for someone else, you can go fetch and build for yourself, you know. And when you're younger as a woman, having that desire, you know, and I mention as a woman because some of us, it's our innate, you know, we position to, you know, want to start a family. So when you're younger, like having that drive to really move, push and act on that drive, that was one of the biggest challenges, like, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Because it's like, you know, when you start off anything, it's really the question of like, am I going to be able to make this? Like, is this really going to happen? Can I really make this work? But one thing that I think is a common thread through everyone that I've spoken to this season who has started businesses, especially in the travel industry, is that idea of like, you have to just find where you can learn. You have to find spaces, people, whatever that you can learn from, because it's not just like, it's not like it just comes to you and you're just automatically successful. It's like you really have to build from the inside out. And I think that in itself is like, okay, if without that, what is the point? You know, you could build something, but is it strong? Like, is it sturdy? Like, can you actually make it last? You know, is it sustainable?
Yeah. Right. And I think that's the importance of like being a successful business owner, is if you know, if you have a blueprint and you can build that into an amazing business model and then provide an amazing experience or, you know, product for your client base, and then you're able to make money off of it, and then mixing your passion into that. So learning how to, because there's a lot of passionate people who are, unfortunately, they're not great business leaders or business owners.
Yeah.
And then there are great business owners who don't really haven't really like struck in tune with their passion.
Mm.
So to have them both and have them both overlap, I think is like, that's, you know, I think that those are some of the key components to success. But it also is, as you mentioned, like building those relationships with people. And because like with the Way to Africa, we currently service 20 countries. And prior to like, you know, with my team created all of these itineraries. I've traveled to all of these countries. I've visited all of these hotels, laid in the beds to see if it was soft enough, you know, like built solid teams in countries where you know, I for the most part, you know, had to get an understanding of the culture, have to get an understanding of the lay of the land, of how to work in that industry, of how to just really just like see who people really are from within. Mm. Because you can go on surface level and say, okay, I'm going to go build and I'm expanding. But to actually build teams in each country, like, you have to have a different conversation in different languages with each team, you know? So
what has that been like? Like, give me an example of what that feels like, going from doing that in maybe East Africa to doing that in West Africa to South Africa. Like, what's that like?
I would say working in the tourism industry specifically, like, let's just use South Africa as an example. South Africa really gets it with tourism. They know what they're doing. Their tourism board, SCT Tourism Board, is just like, I think they're one of the leaders in this industry, because they know what the clients want. One, aesthetically speaking, from their ads that they put out, and, you know, their videos were really capturing how much South Africa has to offer. Mm-hmm. South Africa has done an amazing job with this. So they really support A Way to Africa and what we're doing with selling South Africa, to say, okay, this is what we have. This is another product that maybe you will be interested in seeing. And so when building teams in that country, this is another thing. So the tourism boards, you know, getting support internally as a South African is different from getting support as an American doing business in South Africa, because they see USD. It wasn't until COVID where tourism boards really had to pay attention to domestic, you know, contribution towards, you know, that GDP. But that's going off on another subject. But South Africa really, really gets it. I would say East Africa, more specifically Kenya, as we know, with going on a fam trip together, they're really understanding, because for so many years, you have baby boomers, you have elderly white travelers who are looking for safari and, you know, coastal region. And so you have companies like Abercrombie and Kent who cater to these groups and charge a certain amount and limit it to a certain amount of people and surface level touching the community, but still providing whatever type of experience that their client is looking for. And now you have a new wave of travelers who look like you and I, who are young Black professionals who are traveling with their families, who want their children to see more that they did at their age. So now you have countries like Kenya, like, hey, we noticed that, you know, more people like us who look like us, mm-hmm. and not just from the States, but also from intra-Africa.
Yeah.
So understanding, like, hey, we're having a huge flood of South Africans who are driving in numbers to visit Kenya and coming to, you know, visiting places like Lamu and things of that experience. And then they're promoting it on social media. So then you have East Africa, where the conversation is a more budding interest, but, you know, with the right relationships, it can work. Then you have West Africa, which Ghana was ahead of the game.
Yeah.
In the sense of with being the first country in the continent to just say simply, welcome home. And those two words alone, it's like a ripple effect. So imagine if someone, you open a door up to someone, you're like, welcome home, like, come inside my home, mi casa tu casa, you know?
Yeah.
Let me take my shoes off. As opposed to when you open the door and it's like, hey, you know, right. It's different.
Yeah.
So Ghana really understood, between Ghana and then also Abdul and Kenny with Afrofuture, creating a highlighted experience. In addition to saying, welcome home, this is where your ancestors are from. So many years ago, they landed on the shores of Virginia. They weave together an amazing story,
yeah.
because that's ultimately what our history is about, is storytelling. And they said, you're from here. And for sure, when you do your DNA test, because of X, Y, and Z reasons. I can go into that also. But you're most likely you're going to be from West Africa or Congo. You're never going to show up from Southern Africa because people from South Africa are nomadic anyway. So they migrated from the heartbeat, which is Congo. And then East Africa, they were castrated. So during that Middle East like slave trade, you're not going to see too many descendants. And then with Ethiopia, that's a whole different story. So majority of Black people from the Caribbean and also the States are going to right into West Africa. And Ghana like saw this opportunity and just said, welcome home.
Yeah.
So we made it easier for us to really promote Ghana. I don't want to use the word sell Ghana, but really promote Ghana in a sense of, look, you're going to the slave castle, which is crazy, like a castle, that's a slave castle. But anyway, you're going to a slave castle, you're going to connect with people, and then Ghanaians are super friendly. Mm-hmm. And it's super safe in Ghana.
Yeah.
You know, leave your phone down, keep it moving. Whatever.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Whatever, whatever. And then you have this amazing festival leading into the New Year's. They put every single piece together for you. The only thing where they slapped us in the face is with overcharging for accommodation.
Yes.
You know, but I still love and respect my people. So the Ghana Tourism Board, they were able to, I would say, of all the continent, they successfully weaved a perfect story. So welcome to say to, you know, and yes, it is people living in a diaspora, but also from throughout the continent. There were other, you know, Africans from all throughout, like, look, we need to, Dirty December is Nigeria, Ghana, going, you know? So, and then Northern Africa is a different story because you have Egypt, which is, actually, we launched into Egypt during the latter part of, with the expansion of Away to Africa because it's such a congested country, but we have so many people like asking like, okay, what about Egypt? So we tried to find a different way to tell Egypt and to provide an experience with Egypt in a sense of now where our trips include traveling to Siwa, where you have the space where you can float in a salt water. It's a bit far out, but we take a plane, but in addition to going to the pyramids where there's no one really there and you can meditate and you hear like different echoes going on. So more of a spiritual experience within that as well.
Nice.
But the beautiful part of like Northern Africa, you don't really get the support from the tourism boards, but you have so many amazing like tour partners who live, eat, and breathe what their country is about because you go and see like in flesh and blood and you see like Black faces on the wall, like similar to Ethiopia. That's so important. So I gave you like a trip around the continent, like how it was like building teams and working, but because this is like what I like, this is me, mm-hmm. You know, I find a special space.
Okay.
For, yeah.
Okay.
All for the continent.
I love that. I love that because I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions. Like you ask somebody like, hey, where's somewhere you want to travel to? And the first thing they say is, oh, I want to go to Africa. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, we're in Africa. And they're like, first they're stuck. And they're like, oh, Ghana. you know, or they'll say South Africa too. Like those are the top two responses that I get. And it's interesting because those are the top two that you just named, like Ghana weaving that story and being able to put it out there. Like, yeah, that's somewhere people want to go, you know, and then South Africa, because people have heard of this and that event going on over there. So it's interesting because that is, I think, what immediately comes to mind. And I think maybe now in third place, if there is a place to put it, would be Egypt. But then there's so many other things. Like you said, your company does 20 different countries. There's so many other places that are now like, okay, what story do these other countries have that can, you know, make that draw, you know? I think that's interesting. Yeah. What's your favorite?
Madagascar, for one. Madagascar was one of those like, whoa, because...
Really?
Yeah. Also, when we went to start like partnering up, they were one of the last to open, you know, after COVID. So there weren't that many tourists. Their culture is extremely still intact. So I love traveling to places where culture is still intact and is it doesn't have a sense of mass tourism.
Okay.
Madagascar, like Nosy Bay, like the beaches, it just was like, you know, when you go some places and you had like, God made no mistake with this.
Yeah.
Like, so definitely Madagascar. Then also Lesotho. Lesotho, which is a landlocked country inside of South Africa. I went skiing in Lesotho. So most people were like, oh, does it snow in Africa? And then you have, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the mountain range, which connects South Africa to Lesotho and Drakensberg. Drakensberg Mountains. And Drakensberg Mountains is just like, first of all, South Africa still makes my top list. Because when you travel outside, first of all, Cape Town is a gorgeous city. But when you travel to like Eastern Cape, you travel to Limpopo, South Africa is such a vast land and it's so stinking gorgeous. Like, you're just like, when you look at the mountains, like in Drakensberg, you're just like, God never played. Like, he never messed around when he with certain places. He just was like, okay, I'm just going to take my...
I'm going to do my big one right here.
Okay, so when he was creative, like, I don't want any religious people coming after me, but like when he was creating the world, you know, he like took his time, but when he came to Africa, he was like, all right. Right before the weekend, so like, all right, let me just like finish this up. It was either the beginning of the week or before he took off. He took like this actual time with creating Africa because it's so many. I often question like, why am I doing this? Like, I really focus on my career and now I'm ready for my family. I'm like, yo, you spend so much time focusing on your career, but okay, in due time. But the places that I've seen, it is so, yeah, Lesotho. I went skiing in Lesotho and I went to Drakensberg Mountain, but from Limpopo side. But for like those who don't know, Black Panther, the first one, mm-hmm. majority of the shots were in Lesotho.
Oh, okay.
In the Drakensberg Mountain region. I mean, Senegal.
Really?
I wasn't mad at Senegal. Senegal because similar to Lamu, I do appreciate different places where they're devout in their religion. Mm-hmm. So in the sense of you have a fusion of city life, but also like, you know, it being Muslim dominated, like the different cloths, the different fabrics, things of that sort. It just was, I just think with the museums, with the statues, with, I don't know, with the food, mm-hmm. with the art, there's a lot of key components. And then the Senegalese men are fine. So, yeah. And they have like a nice like culture where they like to work out and things of that stuff. Like they go running. But I think really the arts, let me tell you another thing. Mm-hmm. Benin has the best fabrics I've ever seen.
Really? Benin?
Especially the men. The fabrics you've never seen, I personally have never seen throughout many parts of Africa, like the different styles. So I think Rainier, I would choose definitely. Rainier was interesting. It's an interesting country for sure. I don't want to limit it to their fabrics.
Yeah.
But like even learning of the voodoo culture, because I used to always, you know, being raised, they're like, oh, stay away from voodoo and voodoo. This is negative and it's black magic. And when I went into Benin and also Togo, when I went to Togoville, you learn the difference of how voodoo is more of a culture. I mean, in a religion, voodoo is recognized, acknowledged as an official religion, and you can't cast any negative spells using voodoo. It has to be black magic.
Gotcha.
So to really go in and just, again, the story of unlearning.
Yeah.
To like relearn and to, so now we're able to, you know, share a little bit of the true story or encourage people to travel so they can see the real story.
Yeah. I mean, that's like low key, that's powerful work, because we've been told so many stories and limited. Our knowledge has been so limited of the continent. You know what I mean? So like to really be like, look, I've seen a lot of it. And not only have I seen it, but I'm about to take you to see it too. Is powerful work. It's necessary work. Because I mean, like, look how your face even lights up. Just talking about all these places. Like,
yeah, but you know what? It's the balance, because I see my mission here on earth, but it's a heavy load in a sense. So like even I making sure I'm doing it to the best of my ability with the blessing that I have. I light up because of the places I've seen and the people I've met and the people who have accepted me as a sister. And just like if as long as I approach in a humble manner, then it's like everything is limitless. Like all the doors open because I'm in a sense of like, I know nothing.
Yeah, I feel that. So listen, I know you talked about before, like, cause we went on that press trip together, that fam trip together, like just the impact of community. Like you just mentioned that, what does that feel like to you? Especially now that you live pretty much in two different countries, like, what does that feel like to you now being a part of all these different communities? Does it feel like different communities? I mean, talk about it.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. That's the one thing, like, I can't lie. Like, I feel like in my head, like a superstar, but it's not really a superstar, but it's in the sense of every country I go to, I know people.
Yeah.
It's just on, like I said, in a humble manner, like I'm just walking throughout the village and it's like, hey, I haven't seen you in a minute. What's going on, you know? Or to speak whatever few words I know in that language and just like connect. That feels so amazing to me. But I often ask, like, what more can I do in a community space?
Yeah.
We offer community outreach programs for each tour, but what does that really mean? What does it mean after the guests leave? And the ultimate goal with the Way to Africa is not just tourism. It's to get people to connect to Africa and either move or invest to Africa.
Mm.
But instead of approaching it in that sense, I thought it would be best to just introduce, because a lot of people try things without really having a plan. But I'm just like, okay, well, if, like, I can't go on Marcus Garvey vibes, like, you know, Africa for Africans. So let me just like do it in a more like humble approach. Like, oh, look at this beautiful, you know,
like,
look at this, how beautiful this is. Open your heart and see if it speaks to you.
Yeah.
And then from every trip, like if you have a group of 20 people going out, you're going to have at least two who's going to say, look, I need to circle back.
Yeah.
I need to go to another country. I want to come back here. I've been wanting to leave the States. I'm so over the States. Or I've been wanting to leave the Caribbean. I want to connect. Like, what can I do? Can you lead me? And so then that's when the real, like, So I love what we're doing with the tours. But for me, that's a stepping stone for the ultimate goal, which is really to connect people, to get people to the continent. Like, you know, that when that day comes and God is like, yeah, like, you know, and I'm like, okay, God, like,
okay.
Or even to build something to pass on to my children, like, an amazing opportunity like this. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
So would you say that's probably the most rewarding thing about it all for you?
Seeing people, especially for the first time, like get to the continent and cry. Like, it's not like I want to, it's not like, oh, like, how could I get you to cry? But it's like a joyous feeling in a sense of, and not even crying in a sense, it could be a dry cry.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But anyway, just that seeing when that clicking moment, you know, because it's not going to happen for everyone.
Yeah.
But for those that it happens to, it's just like, yeah, I can't lie. It's super rewarding. It's like a full joy moment.
I'd imagine.
Or a full circle moment where it's just like, okay, God, forgive me for my other sins then.
Like, this should pay everything off.
I'm trying.
I love that. I mean, that's amazing. And it has to be a good feeling because you knew that you have a role in giving someone that opportunity to reconnect. And I think that in itself probably feels really, really good.
It does.
I know, even like bringing my family to different trips, like for my birthday, and they're like, this is amazing. Like going to Mozambique last year for my 40th. I talk about that all the time because I love Mozambique. But like so many of my family members that came were like, they had never been to Africa. And this was their first like step onto the continent, like to step into Mozambique and be like, all right, this is my first time. And they were just so overjoyed. And I was just like, that is the best birthday gift ever. Just to know that I had a hand in bringing them home. You know what I mean? So... yeah,
you encouraged me to go to Mozambique also. I haven't been yet, but I had a failed attempt before, but just you really speak so highly on Mozambique.
Yeah,
so that's really what it is, what it's about, because it's about planting those seeds. Like, you know how you see how you cheesing now, like you know, so that's so it's like it that is that's the energy
yeah
that is from the next person to another, where you can convince them to, which is, this is a full circle moment, because when I said I was working with these bazillion brothers, we used to, on a real estate agency side, we used to do virtual marketing where we would sell properties being built in Sunny Isles to Brazilians in Brazil without them seeing the property. And now, fast forward, where you're convincing people to travel across the world to a continent that they've never seen, touched, they've only heard of. They heard from one story to the next, and now they see it's trending, and then they're saying, okay, I'm going to trust you to bring me across the continent, and I'm going to give you thousands of dollars on top of that to take something from off my bucket list.
Man,
that's power.
It is. So how would you say your personal life experiences have changed since you started living like really on two different continents?
So it started happening even right before I moved, with me living in Jamaica is when it starts to shift, because America is the biggest marketing person. And so I'm of Caribbean, I'm of Jamaican descent, but I was born in America. I was born in New York. And how you define life, love, success, rich, poor, those are all subjectively spoken.
Mm.
And when you're born in America, even if, like, you know, I've lived in the projects, I've lived in a ghetto, but the opportunity, I cannot deny how privileged I am in the opportunity to go from the space of being born in a ghetto or born in a projects to becoming an attorney, a professor, and a business owner, and breaking generational locks. And it's happening more often now throughout the world, I think, because of an energy shift.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot deny when you're born in a space of privilege, which provides you more of an opportunity to set your foot ahead in a space and opportunity of life. So how I looked at things, how I looked at different people and experiences, I was spoiled in my mindset, but also because I was quote unquote what was considered smart growing up, you know, taking advanced class, I can always acquire anything I want. Mm. But that's not how it, that rule doesn't apply across the board of life.
Right.
You know, and how do you balance, okay, I can set a goal and achieve a goal, but when you have other people involved in life, you can't rampage or just like walk over or run over people in order to get to that goal by a certain time. So in Jamaica, just like really started on a really humbling experience, which allowed me to walk into the continent where I could work in the most respectful space for myself. Mm. Because it's how I treat others speaks about me.
Yeah.
How I speak to someone, it says a lot about me. And so just like having that transition of just in Jamaica, just like enjoying the simplicity of whatever it was, like waking up and hearing birds and seeing a mountain and having fresh fruit and going into the river and things of that sort. That really, this is the first time I'm saying it, it really prepared me for my journey throughout the continent. Yeah, because I can approach things. I love being a little bit uncomfortable in spaces. Mm. So in a space where I don't understand the language, I thrive in a sense of like, okay, well, let me listen more.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that's where people will approach you because of you. They're connecting to your spirit, you know, as opposed to you speaking the language.
That's deep. That's deep. And when you talk about how you look at life so differently, like that unlearning to relearn, that all of that just shows when you step into different things and you're in different spaces, then yeah, like absolutely. You start to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I think that's the biggest factor of growth or characteristic of growth is being able to be like, you know what? I'm comfortable right here. I'm not 100% comfortable because I don't know that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what she just said, but I can still be in this space and find other things, you know, to really connect. And I think that's what makes us more versatile, you know, being able to be like, okay, other than my words, other than the words coming out of my mouth, how else can I connect? Can I connect with a smile? Can I connect with some hand motion? Like, it's just different things that you just learn about yourself, about culture, about all of those things. I feel like I went through that moving into Abu Dhabi and just being like, okay, they don't know what I'm saying, but that means I have to be very conscious of my facial expressions. I have to be conscious of my body language because all of those things are going to communicate if my words don't. And then I have to be able to do the same for them. Like, they might be trying to explain something to me. They're trying to speak English. I can't just be like, I don't understand. I have to actually look to read their body language, read their face, read all of these things to see like, okay, what are they trying to communicate to me? And being able to have that grace and create that space that we can still communicate even if we don't speak the same language. So that in itself is a mind shift because in America, people are quick to say, hey, speak English and, you know, all these different types of things. And it's just like, there's so many levels to connecting with people beyond the words coming out of their mouth, you know? And I think that just shifts everything. So tell me about A Way to Africa today. What are some things that people can expect if they're, you know, booking a trip with you? How can they book a trip? Like, tell me about what you got going on now.
So we have our annual tours, but we're looking to, so going into next year, I think I want to limit the amount of tours that we're offering on an annual level in a sense of, instead of highlighting 25 trips, we'll highlight maybe 8 to 10 trips for group tours. But then we also have private departures. And I noticed a shift of travelers. Instead of like going online, sometimes they'll go online and say, okay, I want to join a group. But majority of people, like, I want to travel for a family reunion, a 50th birthday party, or some type of celebration. So we really are starting to cater towards these private departures. But the types of tours, as I mentioned before, you have the travel industry, the entry level, anyone can enter into it. So it's like, how do you differentiate? How do we differentiate from other companies, and everything is in the details. So even this September, we're hosting a tour with a chef from Atlanta, and we're going to South Africa for culinary art and wine, and it's during Delicious Festival, which in Johannesburg, Delicious Festival is a fusion of music and food. And they have Jill Scott and I and Janet Jackson closing it out. So we start in Cape Town, and you know, we're experiencing like everything, the cuisine, the wine. South Africa is known for its wine, but also connecting with different artists who we've built relationships with throughout time. So, you know, like incorporating meeting and connecting with South African artists, South African business owners, South African entrepreneurs. So you can really, those who are traveling with can see yourself in a space of thriving in a continent from the mindset of these young Black professionals, you know? And to, it's also about altering the mindset. When we have these curated experiences, it's altering the mindset of a lot of people when they travel to the continent. It's like, oh, I'm going to go and share my ideas and go and change the way it is there and introduce these amazing things. And you can walk away learning so much from those who are there, because let me tell you, listen, Linda, but it's amazing. The mindset of just like all travelers to have an open mindset and to see like how you can connect with people throughout the continent. But anyway, we end in Johannesburg, and again with this festival, but how we just like laid things out, going to Nairoq Sculpture Park, meeting with some of our, again, some of our favorite designers and artists, which, you know, these relationships were cultivated over years. That's something that's like really cool. As I mentioned before, the Egypt tour, like stopping in Siwa and then doing the meditation and the pyramids is something that's a highlight. I mean, we offer Ghana in December, but what we do is we offer Nigeria first, then Ghana, then Benin and Togo. So we have guests who travel to four countries within a time span of a month and a half, and just really, you know, gets to experience the different countries in West Africa. Then Biennale in Senegal is every other year. It was supposed to happen earlier this year, but, you know, they have a new president now, so they had to take some time and you know, iron things out. But Senegal is, like, on the top of the list also. I did mention the fine men, but I forgot to mention that. You know, they have, I think, one of the youngest leaders on the continent.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story how he came into power, and it was through him and his friend doing the accounting of, you know, of the president, just like asking different questions of why things were going wrong. And then really the youth took over, and this young man who was the friend of the one who was initially going to run for president, he became president, very young leader, but then also they found oil in Senegal as well. So it's just like the future of Senegal is looking extremely bright, not because of the natural resources which are already there, but it's because of what a younger leadership looks like. And that's what we need, I think, throughout this world. Even if we were to have the older leaders, but just like pair them with the younger leader, yeah, which will be a voice of the youth, I think can take us beyond light years with us, our generation, seeing the change that we talk about seeing throughout the world and on the continent.
Absolutely.
Again, another subject, but I'm excited about the Senegal. You know, like, you know, that with the art space in Biennale, also you have people who are huge art collectors and open up their homes. So as you're walking along the streets, you can go into people's homes and see, like, and it's just like beautiful conversations, a lot in French, but still, yeah. So Senegal, and then I'll top it off with, every December we have the South Africa and Zanzibar, a New Year's Eve tour, but to me, that's like a perfect combination because you get the beauty of South Africa I talked about before, but then also the coastal life. And yeah. Just one last thing. We have some of our favorite clients who are traveling to the continent who are considering moving now. So nice. They're spending like a month in Rwanda, a month in Kenya to make the decision of if they would move to Kigali or Nairobi. So, and they've traveled to, I think, like 14 to 16, like about 14 countries with us already. So now they're ready to make the transition. So even like speaking about what I spoke of earlier,
yeah,
with the ultimate goal for people to move there and for us creating this service of, okay, well, what's your industry? So we connect you with like-minded people in your industry in these spaces as well. Matching what your interests are, but mm-hmm. also managing expectations. Because uprooting yourself from wherever you call home to move to the continent full time, you have to manage your expectations.
Yeah.
Things don't move as quickly, you yeah. know, as you would like. So that's an interesting experience
so
as well.
Do you work with people when they have gone through your trips and they want to do that? Do you kind of facilitate that, or you just kind of plant the seed?
No, we facilitate that. We're facilitating.
Okay, so you do. Okay, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. So when someone goes on your trip and they're like, you know what, I am seriously thinking about moving to the last Kigali you mentioned, they just hit mm-hmm. you guys up and y'all kind of like set it up completely, or just kind of just talk them through what to expect?
We set everything up completely, but we always advise staying there for a considerable amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And even before then, they've looked at property already, but still they look at property again, different spaces, but spending a considerable amount of time and then not doing any touristy activities.
Mm.
Maybe one. But you have to understand, it's like when people visit, if you stay in Miami or New York and people visit you and they're like, oh, I arrived on a Tuesday, let's go out and party. And it's like, I live where you vacation. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Managing expectations and living in a place versus visiting a place.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. I think that was the biggest lesson, living in Abu Dhabi and visiting Abu Dhabi or visiting Dubai. It's like, it's a little different when you're, you know, waking up every morning to teach English as opposed to just like, hey, I'm in Dubai at the mall, you know. So you're right.
It's less picturesque for sure.
So what is the best way people can book with you, or what do you suggest? Just going online and booking out, reaching out to you and your team directly? What's best?
The best thing is to go online, see what we do offer. And then we have different tabs all over the website where you can book a consultation. So awaytoafrica.com or info@awaytoafrica.com to email us. But definitely going online. Either way, email, online, calling us. We're always here.
Okay. And one of my last questions. Now, I know like throughout you've talked about what you want Away to Africa to do for our community, like how you want the impact to last. But on the flip side, when you look at your target audience, so you're the perfect, maybe not perfect, is that the right word? But the kind of client that you feel like is going to take away the most from the experiences that you curate, what would you say is a person that needs to show up? Like, in other words, kind of like saying the perfect customer would be someone who blankety blank blanked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I can answer that in two ways,
okay.
I think the perfect customer is someone who knows they want to travel to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to know where, but they are set on, I know I want to go. It's something that's just pulling me there for whatever reason, and I'm ready to go. I just need the guidance to, you know, say which way to go, or I have a few interests. Like, I need to see, I want to have a culturally immersed experience, or I need to see the East African Ocean, or, you know, things of that sort, then that's the perfect clientele when they're ready to travel, because okay. we're not here to convince anyone
right.
that you should travel to Africa. You want to go or you don't. Okay. Once you know you want to go, we're here to facilitate that.
I love that.
But I think for a way to Africa with where I can see us in the next 5 years, I would love for us to be able to host maybe like one or two students a year, just like complimentary, to open up their mindset or open their world to the possibilities of whatever skill set they have, and just connecting with someone in that field and just seeing where that goes. But to help it maybe be a part of the soil to plant that seed, but starting with someone at a younger age who maybe wouldn't have that opportunity, because honestly, that's how I started, was studying abroad and having preconceived notions of the continent and not knowing that this one visit will ultimately alter. That's probably one of the biggest changes in the road that I've made in my life, was studying abroad and then that seed being planted in me to connect people to the continent. So from us to be able to provide that for other students, mm-hmm. I think that to me will be the ideal client forward moving, and not in a sense client where we will receive a financial gain, but it's just like little heaven points.
Yeah. I think that's amazing, because that is where a lot of people shift. Like my very first time abroad outside of Trinidad was going to Italy, because one of my friends was studying abroad, and I was like, well, I'll go visit for spring break, because I didn't want to study abroad because I thought it was going to mess up my graduation date. So I was like, I'm not going, but I'm gonna come visit you on spring break. And even that week alone was like, this is what you've been doing all semester. I want to come, you know, but mm-hmm. it was still a great week of just being like, this is not like me being a little kid traveling to Trinidad with my parents. Like, this is like a whole different experience, a whole different world, you know? So it does really shift mm-hmm. you, especially when you think about how impressionable you are at that age, where it's just like you still kind of have that invincible feeling. You haven't got a whole lot of rejection just yet from the world of life, you know? So it is a great idea to have youth like really study abroad, even grad students. Because you said you did it in law school, right?
I did it in law school. I think if you are in school, or if you're not in school and you have the space to study abroad or even travel for work, do it.
Yeah.
That would be like my message to walk away with. In whatever space or opportunity where you can travel, even if it's not going outside the country, but going to another state, go in a space where you will most likely feel uncomfortable, which God will provide the most growth opportunities for you. You know, and I think that's where we truly thrive, in the spaces where we can grow the most. And it's like college on a first date, everyone is on the same playing field. We don't know anyone. We're not from there. This is a new experience. We're all nervous. And that helps you grow into the person who you're going to become. And so this is a saying that I have. I feel like God is love. We all have God within us. We all have love within us. So the more that you travel, the further you go, the more you travel, the more people you meet, the different forms of love you are experiencing, with the different forms of God you are receiving, which means you're getting closer to God through the different people you're meeting and the different types of love you receive. So that's the reason why I travel.
I love that. Oh my goodness. I was going to ask you if you had any like lasting thoughts, but I love that, because I think that's so true. And you know, the more I think about why I travel, and I've been to probably about 60 some odd countries now, that is it. But I don't think I've ever articulated it like that. Like, and I like that, because I feel like that is definitely what you see is like, look at how different people celebrate stuff. Like, look at the family, like, look at the food, like all of these little things that really do bring you closer to God, the God within you, like however you spiritually like manifest that, like, or believe that, it does bring you to a whole nother level of like, ah, oh, look how that shows up for them. That's deep. Mm-hmm. I like that. Well, Tiffany, it has been a joy chatting with you today.
I know. I felt like it was just a catch up on a phone call.
Man, oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to chat with us today.
No problem. Yeah. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, do you have any final, like, you know, tidbits that you want to share? I mean, I know you just shared some, but do you have any final
thoughts? I'm like, girl, I gave you my best.
Okay, well, I'll take that. I will take it.
Every day, like, just like give thanks for every day. That really is it. Like, I've been in a slump. Like, this is the longest I've been in the States, mm-hmm. in 8 years.
Oh, wow.
9 years, because since moving to Jamaica and then moving to Africa, and the food here, like, the vibration is just different. Mm. It's just different. And I found myself like in a space where I'm just like, I felt like I was pedaling but going nowhere.
Oh,
but
no.
Just today I woke up and I'm just like, yo, have another day. Like, so that's my message really, is just like, we have to give things, make the best of every day. And even if you're just knocking one thing off your to-do list, you're still forward moving.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah. That's it. Just knock one thing off today.
I love that. Well, thank you, Tiffany, so much.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
And thank you all for tuning in. It has been a great conversation. Reach out to Tiffany. Go to awaytoafrica.com. She has plenty of stuff on there, plenty of trips that are coming up. You know, send an email if you have any direct questions. And yeah, get to traveling. There's no excuse. We have plenty of resources now, plenty of people to reach out to. And Tiffany, you could just add to your list now. All right. Thank y'all. Have a good one. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Traveling Black Women podcast. You can find us online at www.travelingblackwomen.com. And there you can find plenty more travel resources to help you plan your very next trip. We've got travel guides, we've got a blog, we've got our blog, and you just listened to our podcast. I look forward to seeing you around. Thanks for tuning in.